are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, the Bible doesn't teach us to only save or to only give or to only spend. It teaches us balance. A healthy financial life includes generosity. It includes preparation for the future and wise daily choices. So all of these are a part of healthy financial living. When one of these is missing, our finances quickly become unhealthy. God calls us to be both faithful and wise with what He places in our hands. Pastor Chabala joins us once again to speak on New Year budgeting and biblical principles. Today we're focusing on giving, saving, and spending in balance. My pastor, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Thank you. And thank you for having me back again.
Thank you so much for making time for us. We always appreciate your time. Would you pray for us as we begin?
Okay. Almighty Father, we thank you for this day again that you have accorded unto us. We seek for your blessings to be with us in as much as we start discussing this topic. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, Pastor, why is generosity such an important part of biblical money management?
Generosity is a big deal and ideal in biblical money management because it's all about trust in God's provision and acknowledging that everything we have comes from Him.
Yeah.
So that is very, very, very important. Everything that we have comes from Him. Now, in relation to that fact, when we read from 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 7, it says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
You see, when Apostle Paul was writing this, he was quoting from the Old Testament, because by then there was nothing like the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the Old Testament, from the original language, we find that the cheerful giver simply means a willingly giver.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who has given willingly, and that is entails the holistic of being generosity.
Right.
And so it's about cultivating her heart that values relationships and trust in God's economy. So we need to cultivate and inculcate the ideology of ensuring that we have a good relationship with God. The moment we have a good relationship with God Himself, holistically, generosity will be as simple as drinking water, and will be very, very important because it is there to help others.
Beautiful, beautiful. And what does what does the Bible also teach us about saving for the future?
So the Bible encourages, planning and saving for the future. If we read the Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20, the Bible says, there is a precious treasure and oil in the home of the wise. There is precious treasure and oil in the home of the wise. But a foolish man consumes it. Which means, according to Solomon, when he was writing this and when he was giving the counsels, he is actually submitting even to us who are in the 21st century,
yes,
that in the home of a wise man, there must be food. There must be something to be in. Why? Because always a wise man is being proactive and a foolish man is being active. What does that mean? It simply means that when someone is proactive, you do things before they get done.
Right.
We need to get that one. When someone is being active, you only be active on the actual day when there is that activity. And there is danger to be active, to be always active, because those who are always active, they crash.
Yeah.
I can give a very good example. When you are planning in church, tomorrow will be a Friday, a preparation day.
Yes.
So when you are not prepared, if you are proactive, you started the last Sunday when the week was starting. That's when you started your preparation.
Right.
It simply means you are a proactive person. And those who are active, they will start their preparations in the evening, maybe at 18 hours. That's when they will start their preparation for a Sabbath, tomorrow, Friday.
Yeah.
And those people, they are active. And those are the people who are crashing with the God's commandments, with the God's word. So here, the Bible teaches us that we need to be proactive to do things before the actual day.
Yeah.
And so it is prudent. A prudent person foresees danger and takes, precautions. Very, very important.
Yeah.
And it's about being wise and responsible with resources.
Mm.
And you see, that's why Jesus in Matthew 25, verse number 1 to 13, Jesus talks about the planning in the parable of the 10 virgins.
Right.
We see those five virgins. And the other one who are wise and the other one who are foolish. Why? What differentiates the five is based on their preparation. So to be prepared and to save for future is something that is very important. It's something that we should put into our consideration in our day and today life.
Beautiful, beautiful. And it's so true, you know. Planning ahead, it takes away such a headache, takes away such a big headache. And it's kind of similar to what we touched on yesterday when we spoke about budgeting, you know, having a plan of where your money is going to go so that you're not left wondering where the money went. But when you've already planned in advance, you already know what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, not just in terms of like you mentioned, planning for the Sabbath program or even preparing for the Sabbath, right? It was always an issue for me because I was one of those people who would wait until Friday. And then on Friday, that's when I'm doing everything in terms of the cooking and the cleaning and all of that, trying to get ready for the Sabbath. And I realized, but why do I have to wait for Friday? Like, you've got six whole days to labor and do all your work, but you're trying to squeeze all the work into one day. Then when the Sabbath comes, you are exhausted. You just want to sleep or just... it'd be so inactive because you overdid things on Friday because you did not plan throughout the week. Everything was just left. So while that's, that's a lesson that I've learned that, no, this thing, you can start earlier. You can prepare in advance. Yes, even in the finances, the Bible wants us, God wants us to be responsible and plan in advance so that we're not taken by surprise. Every now and then, sure, there might be emergencies, but there's a difference, right? when it's an emergency. Something unexpected rather than just a lack of preparation.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then when it comes to differentiating between needs and wants, how do we tell the difference?
Distinguishing between the needs and wants, you see, requires a thoughtful evaluation of one's priorities and circumstances. And so here is a structured approach. To begin with needs, essential requirements for survival. These that are essential requirements for survival, well-being and basic functioning, such as physiological necessities, where we can talk about food, water, and also shelter and health care. And you can also safely say safety and security, that is housing, clothing, and transportation. Fundamental responsibilities, bill payments, debt obligations. So when you look at this, the aspect of needs, basically are the essential requirement for a survival. So meaning at times without these things, you can't even survive. That is one fact that we need to get from this approach. However, wants, on the other hand, are desires that enhance quality of life, but are not crucial for immediate survival. They are not crucial for immediate survival, meaning you can live without having these things. And what are these things? We can talk about leisure activities and entertainment. someone can live without, experiencing entertainment, luxury items or services. You can live without all these things. Then the other thing is spending money on just recreation and entertainment, as I've alluded to. So all these things are just the ones. Now, to differentiate again, we need also to consider the following, facts. Essentiality, is this is necessary for basic survival or functioning? One must ask this important question. Is this necessary for basic survival or functioning? If it is not, then you should consider it to be a want. Then the consequences, what will come out from that? If I do this, what will be the result? What will be the consequence? What are the implications of not fulfilling this? Or if should I not fulfill this, is there any implications that I can have? For example, if I don't have food or water, if I don't have water, can I survive without water? The answer is I can't survive without water. But if I have, I don't have any, I've never gone for any entertainment, can I survive? Of course I can survive. Okay, so one must ask such a question. Then alignment also. Does this align with long-term goals and values? So this is one eminent aspect that we need to consider. In as much as we are making the budget, the needs and the wants, I think these are the two ideal approaches that we are lacking, or people out there are lacking. They must be on the list. This should be your skeleton of your planning. It should be your roadmap. It should be your map. It should be your mind map, the needs and the wants. So this is a very, very important. So those are some of the differences that I can bring across so that we understand in a nutshell.
And then when someone chooses to just focus on the one and ignore the other, like maybe someone just focuses on spending and ignores giving, or, you know, just which or whatever combination, they focus on one, not so much on the other. What happens in such a case?
So when an individual prioritizes spending over saving and giving, you know, several consequences may arise. Number one, financial instability is one of them, which entails insufficient savings can lead to vulnerability to financial shocks, debt and accumulation, and reduces financial resilience. Number two, missed opportunities. Okay, neglecting savings and investments may result in foregone growth opportunities and the reduced long-term financial security. Number three, impact on well-being. Overemphasis on spending can lead to decreased satisfaction and well-being, as well as strained relationship. Then the fourth one, we can also talk about the social implications, which entails ignoring social responsibilities may damage relationships and social capital. So in a nutshell, we are simply saying a balanced approach to financial management, incorporating saving, spending, and giving, can contribute to overall stability and fulfillment.
And how do we build a balanced financial plan that honors God, that that kind of balances all of these aspects?
You know, developing a balanced financial plan that aligns with Christian values involves several key principles, and we are going to look at only four of them. And the first one is the stewardship. Recognize that resources are entrusted by God. That is a key word. We should not be forgetting that everything that we have has been entrusted by God. Manage finances responsibly through what? Budgeting is a key. As you are managing finances, responsibly, you should ensure that you come up with a budget. Mm. Number one, saving and investing. These three principles must put into considerations. Mm. Budgeting, saving, mm-hmm. and investing. Don't just come up with a budget. As you come up with a roadmap, it should also ring in your mind to say, I need to save. Mm. When you save, you invest. Very, very important. Mm. Number two, generosity. Prioritize giving and supporting others. Especially we Christians, we need to know that the character of God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
For God to give his only begotten son, it was a product of his love. And for those who are called God's sons and daughters should emulate the spirit, the image of God. Mm. And that's why in the beginning, the Bible says that God created the human in his own image, in the, his own image of love. So that should be actually shown to the world.
Mm.
And the third one is debt management. Avoid excessive debt. And strive to financial freedom. Make sure that you have freedom. You see, my sister, we have a challenge in this world that people who are working, once they get paid, even their freedom goes, vanishes.
Mm.
We don't even know where our freedom goes. Our financial freedom goes as soon as we get paid, our financial freedom vanishes.
Yeah.
The reason is very simple. It's because of who? Poor debt management.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make sure that we improve and we strive in avoiding excessive debt. Then the fourth one is that wisdom and guidance. You see, wisdom and guidance, these two are important aspects in one's life.
Mm.
Seek counsel and pray for wisdom. You can only have wisdom after asking it from God, who is the source of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to ask for wisdom in financial decision making. That is Proverbs chapter 15, number 22. Mm-hmm. However, I would say by integrating these principles,
mm-hmm.
individuals can cultivate a balanced approach to finances that honors God.
Amen.
And promotes overall well-being.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for another very necessary conversation, finding that balance and making sure that we incorporate all of these giving, saving, and spending in balance. Very important for us all. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you. We'll connect again tomorrow, same time, same place.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.